It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about a school program in West Bend designed to bring the outdoors into the classroom.
First, as the U.S. Supreme Court hangs at a 4-4 balance, Wisconsin has a number of high-profile cases making their way through the court system. President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to replace Justice Antonin Scalia is currently on hold in the U.S. Senate with no sign of a change anytime soon.
That impasse means that the U.S. Supreme Court may have only 8 justices for the rest of the year, which could lead to 4-4 ties, which would result in the lower court decision standing without setting a new precedent.
As the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports today, there are several Wisconsin cases that could at some point end up before this 8-justice U.S. Supreme Court. Joining us now to discuss the issues that could be ruled on is Ryan Owens. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and an honorary fellow at the Institute for Legal Studies. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Sure, you bet.
Well, we've got this standoff over a 9th Supreme Court justice. How likely is it that we're going to see a lot of 4-4 deadlocks in the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, we're likely to see some. I can tell you that the court really does not like 4-4 splits. Justices do whatever they can in many instances to avoid having to recuse themselves from cases precisely for this reason. A 4-4 split is, leaves the law unclear at times. And frankly, when justices, have to spend a lot of time on a case, to wind up just affirming by a tied vote seems like a lot of wasted time for them.
Is there much that this 8-member court can do to avoid cases? They can't just not take things, or can they? I don't know.
Sure. Well, there are a handful of things they can do. So on an ongoing basis, or maybe on a forward-looking basis, they can deny review to certain cases. Cases they otherwise might want to hear, maybe they just decide not to hear those at this particular point in time. But that doesn't really do anything for the cases that have already been granted. And I suspect those are the ones you're a little bit more interested in. For the cases that already have been granted, the court really has a couple of options, or a handful, I should say. One is, I suspect they could dismiss a case as improvidently granted, which is basically just say we shouldn't have granted review to this case. Another alternative would be to hold it over for re-argument and rehear the case next year when one would assume there's a 9th justice on the court. The other thing, of course, is the 4-4 split, and then you could see justices, I think, as we have seen over the last few weeks, trying to find compromise on narrower grounds and just dismiss cases accordingly.
But in general, if there's a 4-4 tie, whatever the next lower court that handled this case did, that just stands otherwise, right?
Well, that's correct. But let's be clear about it. So when the court affirms by an equally divided vote, it certainly affirms the lower court's decision, but it's not precedentially binding, which is to say it's not as though the court is sort of adopting the lower court's decision and setting that as national precedent. It just says we're not doing anything to that lower court decision. So to the extent that the 7th Circuit, for example, has rendered a number of decisions, the Supreme Court's 4-4 decision would leave those rulings intact. Those decisions by the 7th Circuit would continue to be binding within the 7th Circuit.
Talking to Ryan Owens from UW-Madison, political scientist there, looking at the U.S. Supreme Court and how 4-4 ties could affect us here in Wisconsin. And let's start bringing this home to Wisconsin now, Ryan. A bunch of cases that could end up before the Supreme Court. Voter ID. Now, a lot of challenges on this are dead, but there's one that was just kept alive, a certain subcase of voter ID. Do you see this maybe reaching the U.S. Supreme Court?
It's possible. I suspect that the Supreme Court won't want to decide this issue until it has a full court. The court is willing to tolerate some degree of conflict among the circuits before it steps in and grants review to cases. In fact, sometimes that's a good thing for the court because it can kind of see how different policy arguments will actually play out in fact. And in this instance, it's unclear to me whether the court would really want to go out on a limb and take this case. I think We just saw some other, election law type cases where the court tried to get rid of them sort of on narrow grounds. I suspect there's not much appetite to hear this case at this particular point in time.
And speaking of cases where different circuit courts might rule differently, abortion, the idea of admitting privileges for abortion providers, having to have admitting privileges to a hospital in a certain distance. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin, this one's moving through the courts. There was a high-profile case coming out of Texas, too. Do you see Wisconsin's ending up at the Supreme Court or another state's law affecting us here in Wisconsin if it goes to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think what you have to do here is pay attention to what the Supreme Court does in this Texas case. If you listen to oral arguments in that case, you heard a substantial amount of skepticism, particularly from the four liberal justices, about Texas's rationale for using admitting privileges. I suspect if anything happened with this, the court might just grant the Wisconsin petition and then hold it pending their decision in the Texas case. It's unclear where the court is headed on that one. If I was betting on it, I would bet that the court has some skepticism over these admitting privileges. The four liberal justices are pretty much in lockstep on that one. And I think it'll come down to how Kennedy and maybe Roberts, how they view those policies.
Then there's our redistricting law in the state, a challenge from people opposing Republican-led boundaries drawn in the state for voting districts, got a small win in court. This is one that the Supreme Court looks like it's weighed in the past. What do you make of this one and its future through the courts?
Yeah, I would be pretty surprised if the court takes this. At this point in time, it's not, of course, certain that they won't, But I suspect there, again, is not much appetite on this one. The decision, made by the lower courts here was a 3-0 panel decision to move forward with a trial, just not to have a decision on the briefs. There's really, I think, little reason for the court to step in and do anything at this point. We'll see the trial go on. I'm sure there will be evidence on both sides here about whether this is excessively partisan in terms of the redistricting capacity. I mean, the court is obviously willing to allow a substantial, I would say, amount of flexibility in these circumstances. They're comfortable with partisan lines being drawn, but at some point they have indicated that it could become too partisan. But even just recently in a challenge coming out of Texas, there was a challenge to how states apportioned their districts, and even there, the court seemed pretty reticent to get into anything too extensive here. And indeed, in that decision, the court has indicated that deviations up to 10% of the population will be appropriate. And basically, what that means is when states are redistricting, they can do a couple of funny things as long as the deviation, between like a population within the district and sort of the population one would expect isn't too extreme. So I just, reading the tea leaves from that decision, I suspect there's not much of a motivation by the court to get into this redistricting stuff right now.
As I understand it, this challenge in Wisconsin is kind of playing on something that Justice Kennedy had said, basically saying if we can find a way to measure a standard for that sort of deviation from what you'd expect, and it reached a certain threshold, then it becomes worrisome. Is that, even if this case doesn't make it to the Supreme Court, is that the wave of the future on redistricting?
Well, it could be. There are a lot of reasons for the court to get involved with these. There are a lot of reasons for the court not to get involved with these. And I think the court is always going to be somewhat skeptical, or I should say reticent, about getting involved with these things. And to the extent that challengers to redistricting can come up with a clear test, that might help the court feel more comfortable. This is, of course, not the first challenge. There have been plenty before, and the justices have really just been very nervous about getting involved.
Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet.
Ryan Owens is professor of political science at UW-Madison and an honorary fellow at the Institute for Legal Studies. He joined us to look at significant Wisconsin cases that could conceivably end up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court before a ninth justice is appointed.